please come to order?
Okay.
We're going to come back to 5:48, but because we have a meeting we have to go to in about 15 minutes, we're going to try and take up House Bill 482, which is state procurement and lobbying contracts. See if we can deal with that bill and be finished with it. Senator Sharp, you had this bill in State Affairs. We're waiting for the sign-up list on this bill.
Yeah.
Let's see who's going to start.
I forgot what you're doing.
Okay, we got Dugan Petty. Is he here? Larry, would you go look for him?
Maybe so.
Senator Sharp, since we don't have anyone yet to testify they're looking for, would you give us your rundown since you
have
this bill in committee?
I have a proposed amendment that would bring 482 closer in line with the State Affairs, Senate State Affairs version, which was a companion bill. The amendment titled by Bannister K.5, 5496, would restore in sections 1 through 6, adding back in coverage by under the contract procedures by section 1, the Ombudsman, section 2, the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, and the Railroad, section 3, Alaska Housing Finance and Alaska State Pension Investment Board, and section 4, ASME, section 5, legislative agencies and ledge council, section 6, the court system, and section 7 brings back in wording that allowed construction contracts under 100,000, and this was something I believe the administration wanted and was slightly changed in our version to accommodate some of the requests. It also on the bottom of page 1, that AS 3630565A expanded a little bit on their expedited bidding procedure that they wanted to put into the procurement code, that if they chose to do that, they had to reduce the 20-day protest because they wanted to go on a 30-day quickie bid procedure, and 20 days wouldn't allow anyone to protest. So we reduced that down, and they concurred down to the date of the bid opening. If a prospective bidder felt that the procedure was biased or something, they could at least protest before it was bid and awarded.
Okay. Senator Sharp, do you move amendment number 1?
I would move amendment number 1.
With that explanation, is there objection to the adoption of amendment number 1 incorporation into the House bill? Without objection, amendment number 1 will be incorporated into the House bill. Senator Dunn.
Chairman, I think members have an amendment in their packets. Number 2 regards the employment of personnel.
Okay, I see the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, before I offer this amendment, I'd just like to make a change. I'd like to change on line 9, range 17 to range 21.
Line 9, range 17 goes to range 21.
Yeah.
As a technical amendment before it's offered. So. Okay, Senator Donnelly, you want to move it and then explain it to us?
Yeah. Number 2, what amendment number 2 does is to limit out-of-state employment by ASME to no more than a range 21 step A. Currently they have a bunch of people who are range 18, and they have I think 3 people who are range 25s. And it's been a goal of the finance subcommittee to try to bring some of those people home. This would allow them to, you know, it doesn't restrict what ranges they pay people in Alaska, but it puts a cap on the ranges they can pay people outside of Alaska.
Okay, the way I read the section, the effective date is January 1st, 1998. Is that correct?
That is correct.
With that time lag, I don't have a problem with the amendment with a range 21. Because I think that gives them some room to actually manage that. Senator Reagan.
Just quickly, I'm uncomfortable with managing in this level of detail the activities of ASME, in part because so little of the agency is remaining funded by general funds, and they're heading towards complete self-funding. If we were paying for these positions, I think they'd feel differently. But even though I support trying to bring these people back home, it's not really our call, and it's not our money.
What is the ratio of dollars in ASME now? State funds versus...
Well, it depends on what the conference committee's final version is. My understanding is the conference committee ended up with about $550,000 to general fund in ASME. And, you know, that's an interesting argument. We hear this argument a lot because there's a tax on ASME, and because the industry pays a tax, that they should be able to do whatever they want with the money. And there's a lot of people around here pay taxes but don't think that they get to dictate exactly how that money's spent. And they're still running it through a state agency here, through the state of Alaska. It's appropriate that the legislature have oversight over that if that's the system they want to utilize. If they want anything they do as a private sector venture, they're free to do whatever they want. But when you're utilizing the state of Alaska, and I don't really see what the difference is between, you know, having this payment come, it's passing through the state's coffers, and I think everybody that pays taxes would like to be able to say, well, we should be in charge of how we spend that money.
Senator Reagan?
Just very quickly, Mr. Chairman, the only reason even though it is a tax, it was sold in the concept, in the context of a user fee. I mean, they voluntarily agreed in this mechanism to raise money from themselves to pay for their marketing.
No, only some of them agreed.
Only some of them agreed. Yeah, that's true.
A very, very bare majority agreed. And a lot of people feel like the taxes generated in Western Alaska get spent on marketing pinks.
And Mr. Chairman, their own extensive study that was done triggered from intent language put in by the budget subcommittee last year, pointed out there was a real question too about whether or not they should have some other locations in Anchorage. It was one that mentioned they might have a position there or other locations to serve other parts of the state better too. And the top end of these folks, seemed like, well, they're 25 M's is what they've got down there. And it just seems like those kind of excellent jobs should be available to Alaskans. And if they're a supervisory to justify a 25 M, we ought to be having some Alaskans get a shot at them here, because I think they can do the supervisory aspects from Alaska.
Are these people under the schedule we just adopted in the geographic pay differentials?
My understanding is that what the ASME folks told us is that they're at an 18% differential currently. So you discount, it makes it about, for 25M, I think it works out about $92,000 a year, something like that.
Further questions, Senator Sharp?
Just point out, it looks pretty obvious that to avoid the 18% cut, they hire men at a range J or M or something like that. Yeah, that's why I think he's heading this direction.
The subcommittee asked the question if these folks had been around for 10 years, because that's what M's are supposed to be. And the answer was, well, we're not allowed to pay more than 25, so we just raised them all up to an M.
Well,
because over range 25 is like the governor.
And because it doesn't take effect until 1998, and I'm sure we'll get feedback back and forth, and it's up to a 21. Senator Jara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I oppose the amendment, and I think it does get into this, you know, very fine line of micromanagement. And it's not that the fishermen really don't have a say as to how this money is spent. The board is comprised of about 25 members, processors and fishermen, who all are assessed to a certain degree. The money that is paid to ASME to go out and leverage additional monies, and they all have a say as to who is hired and who is, as they are in it. Just because you happen to be sitting in some place there and you're only a range 10 and you're just very concerned, and I don't know that these people working in Seattle were not originally Alaskans, but were hired here in the state and then moved out there because of the location of the business, the function of that business. ASME is not dealing in the same day-to-day type businesses. They're not dealing in the same arena there that we imagine most state employees to be working in, and I'm going to guess there that probably some of these people that are the higher paid position people are probably people that were attracted from other advertising agencies that probably had pretty good salaries, and their responsibilities certainly go much beyond than what we imagine or what we think of a range 26 position to be, or a range 25 position to be, or even a range 10. And I just feel very uncomfortable in tying or attempting to tie the hands of an agency here that is not only trying to promote product here from a statewide perspective, but they're also taking national and international endeavors in doing that. And, it just kind of goes beyond me there that somebody would have that limited of an approach there into the magnitude there and the global position there that this organization takes in trying to secure jobs for Alaskans as well as to promote Alaskan products.
Question is the adoption of amendment number 2.
Very good.
All those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Amendment fails. Next amendment.
Now you get five, right?
Senator Rieger.
Amendment number 3 is just a repeat of what we did on Senate Bill 215 when it came through, since the same language appears in this bill. It's the defined definition of what lobbying means under those restrictions on the alphabet agencies. I move amendment number 3.
Did amendment number 1 already address that?
Did you put it in amendment number 1?
I thought we.
Yeah.
Right, I didn't see look it. Real familiar, but
I didn't see it when I was flipping through amendment number 1.
Okay, let's
maybe
see
with
where
the
it
idea
is.
That it might be a duplicate. I think it, according to my information on my recap,
I don't see it in amendment number 1.
Section 39 was amended to allow only exemptions of procurement code by Office of Governor for contracts with media for advertising, but does not allow exemption for lobbying and public relations. That would be subject to the procurement code.
That's a different question, isn't it?
I think it's a different question. This
okay.
Sure. Where's the alphabet list?
Doesn't on page 16, 15 and 16 of the House Bill 482.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
And Mr. Chairman, I think that the reason Senator Sharpe's amendment didn't pick it up is that we did this as a floor amendment, because what we did in committee, this.
Okay, it would replace the previous definition.
Okay.
Are there objections to the adoption of amendment number 3? Without objection, amendment number 3 is adopted. Senator Phillips, amendment number 4.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of amendment number 4.
Page 2, line 29, amendment number 4.
Okay, this takes off the small, quote unquote, small purchase section of $250,000 per year, or $2,500,000 for the life of the lease. This was in Senate Bill 129, which we passed last year, and we're inserting it back in.
Wait a minute, Senator.
we have a different different section now?
This is page 2, line 29. Page 3, line 17. Okay, we're deleting all the material.
This procurement looks like the right reference.
Okay, this is delete section 6, then, essentially.
Two bills.
And what we're doing is going back to the legislation we passed 2 years ago in Senate Bill 129.
And that was to make sure that one of these they told us about.
Okay. Is there objection to amendment number 4?
Going back
without to objection, amendment number 4 is adopted. Senator Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, can I make an inquiry to... This is late in the session and things are...
Senator, go ahead.
I need Bert.
Oh.
This is in relationship to amendment number 5. Let me just offer it and then maybe we can discuss it.
Okay.
I move and adopt amendment number 5. What this does is deletes procurement by the Office of Government for lobbying, public relations, or advertising, and inserting procurements of contracts with the media for advertising. We had a legislative audit 3 years ago with the contract for advertising was an exclusive deal, wasn't a competitive bid. It went back to Senate Bill 129 from 2 years ago. So I just would rather limit the Office of the Governor just to contracting for the media, just for advertising, not public relations.
Okay, I think the reason, I mean...
And I think Bert's, or Bert's amendment number 1 might take care of that. That's the question.
Bert, was this covered in your amendment on... I think the place that there's, that there may be a slight conflict is where I understand your sensitivity to lobbying by the governor's office, but I think that might mean to, you know, as applied to outside lobbying contracts, to lobby in Washington on a position that's, you know, the unified position of the state on something.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 1 did address section 39, lines 2 and 3.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was fixed in amendment number 1, Senator Sharp?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with that confirmation, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw it.
Okay. Are there further amendments, comments?
Thank you, Ann. You're not off the floor.
We are.
Yes, we didn't pass it.
We are supposed to leave, Senator Frank and I. Got a motion on the bill. Unless, Duke and Petty, do you have anything you need to say? Okay. Sorry to try to keep moving. Senator Sharp.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill number 482, or Senate CS for House Bill number 482, Finance Committee with individual recommendations.
Are there objections? Without objection, 482 will be moved from committee. We're going to recess to the call of the chair.
Leadership meeting.
Oh.
Would you like to read my mail, Senator Phillips?
No.
Give us something to do while we're waiting.